listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Patty Pigskin. I'm your host, Gary Somerville. I have Jer in with me this week. Barry is a little bit under the weather. We are hoping to get the gang back together, but he's not feeling up to it. So Jer is with me. Really looking forward to this show. We are going to cover some of the coaching hirings. So when myself and Barry spoke last week, there were a lot of open vacancies. Lots of them have been filled. So myself and Jer are going to give our knee-jerk reactions to those. And we have the first ever Paddy Awards. So we're going to give out some awards for the 2019 season. Some are serious, some not so serious. So really looking forward to that. And then we're going to finish with the preview for the divisional round games. The last week, we're going to have four games over a few days. So a very sad time, but we're also looking forward to some fantastic football. So episode 53, me and Jer, Paddy Pigskin, let's get after it. They always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we're changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Our episode 53 player dedication is a man that not many people will know. That is Mick Tinglehoff. He was a centre for the Minnesota Vikings from 62 to 78. He was born in Lexington, Nebraska in 1940, played his high school ball at Lexington, and also played college ball in Nebraska for the Cornhuskers. He only became a starter in his senior year and was made a co-captain on the 1961 team. He actually went undrafted in the 1962 draft, but he signed with the Vikings as a free agent. He won the starting job as a center as a rookie and held it all the way until he was retiring in 1978. He went to six consecutive Pro Bowls from 1964 to 69 and had five first-team All-Pro nods in this time frame. He won a championship ring in the 1969 championship game. This was the last one before the AFL-NFL merger when the Vikings beat the Browns 27-7 in Minnesota. He was only one of 11 players to play in all four Viking Super Bowl appearances in the 1970s and is considered the best center of his era. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame not long ago in 2015, and his number 53 jersey is retired in the Vikings organization. So episode 53, Mick Tinglehoff. This episode is for him. Let's get your air on and we'll get cracking with this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Yeah. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man at a bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man at a bounce. Brassy girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man at a bounce. So I have Jer back here with me. How's it going, Jer? Happy New Year.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Wednesday, the last time you were on was end of November, I think it was.
Was it that
long? Yeah, because we took a few weeks off for Christmas and Steve was on at the start of December. Mm. So I think it's been a few weeks now since all of us have been
Well, I was going to pop in that night to the wool shed and then we went to a wedding instead.
That's right, yeah, and got geoid. Yeah. How was Christmas? How was your time at home? We crossed paths at the wedding, but apart from that, how was it?
It felt long, you know, but it was good to get back out here again.
Yeah, happy to be back in Boston. We're going to do a beer review. So we have two big bastards, actually. This is now the second week in a row. We've gone for the big ones instead of a multiple.
Jesus, 24 pack. Ounces.
Yeah. What's that in mils? It's probably 600-700 mils, isn't it? System. So we'll crack these open. There you go. We'll review these for the next, I don't know, 40 minutes or whatever amount of time we're talking. So we're going to start off with, now we've got the formalities out of the way. Oh yeah, we haven't even fucking said what it is. It's Torpedo Extra IPA, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, Chico, California, and Mills River, North Carolina. So fine quality Torpedo Extra IPA. What is the percentage was? Is there it is? 65 units. What the fuck is that in? I don't know. If it's an extra IPA. Oh, 7.2. Jesus.
I know where I'll be sleeping.
On the couch with Barney. Right, we'll move on with the juicy stuff of this week's show. We're going to start with some of the coaching hires. So when Barry and I spoke last week, there were a load of vacancies that hadn't been filled yet.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of action over the last few days. Mm-hmm. Loads of them have been filled. So we'll start off with the Packers. They have hired former Titans OC Matt LaFleur as Mike McCarthy's replacement. He was there for, 18 years, I think it was, Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
As the head coach there at Lambeau. And LaFleur, he's also been the OC for Sean McVay at the Rams. He has also been a QB coach at the Falcons when Matt Ryan got to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So the Packers, it looks like they're going young. I hate a head coach there, having Mike McCarthy around for quite a while. So what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I like it. I was trying to think, like, what's he done amazingly at the Titans this year, you know?
Because we all heard, oh, he's going to develop Marcus Mariota. And you know, just never really happened.
It just never happened. He got injured again and the usual. But no, it seems to be the way the most teams are going now is these offensive scheme-minded, you know, and if he was the Falcons there, he obviously served under Kyle Shanahan as well. Mm. He's been there for Sean McVay, so he's been under two really good coaches, so it was probably a pretty easy sell when he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league to work with.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a nice little situation for him. The Browns, they look set to keep offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens as their permanent head coach. He was the interim there towards the end of the year. He beat out Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. The Browns, as we said during the week, we were texting away, they're going with the hot hand.
Yeah.
He seemed to develop a nice rapport with Baker Mayfield there towards the end of the year. And he went, 5-2 or 5-3 as head coach, something, I think, in the last eight games.
As offensive coordinator.
Yeah, as offensive coordinator, yeah.
Greg Williams
was the head coach, yeah. But they were doing well on offense.
Yeah, yeah.
They were beating teams. So you had a nice little nugget there about Kitchens.
I didn't really know much about him, you know, and he's always been in the NFL since 2006, which I was like, I would never have thought that. But he was also a 3-year starter at Alabama from 93 to 97, you know, and nearly 5,000 passing yards, 30 touchdowns. So played in three big bowls. So the guy's experience, you know, and he served under the likes of Nick Saban, Bill Parcells, Bruce Arians. So.
Serious fucking names to be working
with.
So
guy knows his shit.
Yeah, so he'd be looking forward to, you know, really working with Baker Mayfield there.
Yeah.
As he goes into his second year, he's shown fantastic potential as a rookie. We'll move on to the AFC East. The Jets are hiring former divisional foes, the Dolphins there, former head coach Adam Gase, who in 3 years actually went 5-1 against the Jets as the head coach of the Dolphins. Only lost once. Gase interviewed with multiple teams, we were told. Mike McCarthy also said that the Jets job would be the only one
he's
solidly interested in. So
he's taking a year or so out to see what happens next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you think of this one?
It didn't blow me away either. It was like, you see, like, we were getting all the tweets from Schefter and the boys saying, you know, they're going to be interviewing for the Broncos, they're going to be interviewing for the Browns, and they said, like, oh, they didn't get invited here. Like, he's not blowing me away at Miami.
I mean, the record speaks for itself. What was it? He barely over 500. He might be under 500.
He never really, again, didn't have a great QB. And then the QB got injured. And Brock Osweiler was his backup. And that other guy that was always getting injured. So then he also had the falling out with a couple of players like J.J. And he shipped them out, you know. Mm. So I don't know. It's like he's going to New York where it's going to be a lot more media and publicity on him. So it could be good, could be bad. He's got a good QB there. Which he really didn't have in Miami, so you just build around that.
Yeah.
But like everybody was talking about him, remember when he was at the Bears, you know, he was running the whole offense under John Fox, so maybe this is something that can be successful there.
Yeah, well, he knows how to beat the Jets, so now he's just got to figure out how to beat everybody else as the head coach of the Jets. We have a new hire at the Broncos. They hired former Bears defensive coordinator Vic. Is it Fangio? He's their new head coach to replace Vance Joseph. He led the Bears in 2018. They were the team that surrendered fewer points than anybody else. So he had a really good defense, as we all know. Like, it doesn't take a fucking brain surgeon to figure that one out.
He had a great defense there. And I think John Elway's going back to what made us successful when we won the Super Bowl and was all built around the defense.
Mm.
And he's brought Gary Kubiak back. to be offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's huge, yeah.
I think they got the job basically when Kubiak came out and said he didn't want to be a head coach again. He wanted to coach, but he didn't want to be a head coach.
Yeah, because he had health problems. Issues, like.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's going to be good, you know. But it's going to be interesting, though, because Gary and John Elway are like buddies, you know. So Vic's got to be careful now, you know, if he's head coach and things aren't going well, you know.
Yeah.
Gary's speaking to his best friend. There, yeah. This is what I'm seeing inside, you know. So,
but they need a quarterback. Case Keenum's just a bridge for when somebody else comes on, you know.
But you know, I think this is good. He had a great defense there this year with the Bears anyway. And the Broncos have the makings of a good defense, you know.
Absolutely,
two of the best pass rushers in the league sitting on that front line, so they should be able to do something with it.
Yeah, the Broncos' defense it kept them in some games where they kind of had no real right to be still hanging around, but the defense kind of kept them in it. Mm-hmm. And anything better than mediocre production from Case Keenum and the offense might have won them a few more games.
Definitely.
Cardinals, this was a bit of a surprise, I think. It was a hot one because of, you know, well, his age and just his resume. Well,
I suppose that and also all the shit that went on at the college.
Yeah. So the Cardinals signed former Texas Tech head coach who was, what was he, offensive coordinator at USC for like a few weeks or whatever it was.
Yeah, so.
He's gone from there already. I think I read that the buyout clause or something was like $150,000 or something like that.
Pay that now, that's for nothing. Know, like, but they were refusing to, like, the AD was blocking him. And it's like, what are you really doing here? You know, one, I don't think he should have taken the job so quickly because he knew teams in the NFL would come looking for him. If he didn't know, then he needs a new agent.
Yeah.
But yeah, like $150,000 to a pro team to get their the head Pennies. Coach they need. And you've seen what he was like with Texas Tech and the air raid system, you know. He had Patrick Mahomes there. We also he had
Pat Mahomes would have been the main one that he had there, yeah.
Was Baker there?
Baker was there for his first year, yeah, but he didn't really play under him, yeah.
Oklahoma, and there was another kid as well.
He only went
to Davis Webb?
Yeah.
He had him as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's been a few QBs that have played under Murray. But he only went 35 for 40 in six seasons with Texas Tech. So he did finish with a losing record.
Yeah, but like, they're in the Big 12, are they?
Yeah.
It's not really a defensive division, yeah. You know, it's all
with the offensive. Likes of Baylor and all those teams, just, like, yeah.
Who scores the most?
We never even said his name, by the way. Cliff Kingsbury. We just started showing him without actually naming him. But I think most people that are listening could gather who we're talking about.
As well. So you look at all these things. Like, a lot of the coaches are very offensive-minded, played quarterback, you know, so.
And his missus is a fucking riot. Holly Saunders or whatever. She's plastic as fuck, but, you know, we're not going to hold that against her. He will be doing that for us. He'll be holding it against him plenty. The Bucs this is all but wrapped up, but they're signing former Cardinals, speaking of the Cardinals, their former head coach, Bruce Arians, to replace Dirk Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Bucs GM Jason Lui, he was in the front office in Arizona actually when Bruce Arians was the head coach. I think it was his first year back in 2013, so it kind of makes sense there that they have that link already. But I just can't see Arians being the man to really turn it around with Jameis as the QB. Well, and I think Barry kind of shared that sentiment.
Barry's thoughts are he's more excited about Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator coming in. As long as Jameis is the QB of the Bucs, their ceiling is 9 wins. I think it's possibly more. Like, Arian's done a great job at the Arizona Cardinals, you know. He's seen David Johnson's talents and drafted him in the third or fourth round, you know. So I did hear a couple of things in the grapevine. Is there any running backs out there that could fit well into a David Johnson type scheme that are becoming available at the end of the season? And Le'Veon Bell's name was thrown around.
Well, have they gotten Caprio in the books? Would they have enough?
I'm not too sure. I just heard it being thrown around. I was like, I could see it. State free tax, you know, with all these sports stars for big money.
Not bad, yeah. When you're getting as much as that, having that state free tax is fucking, or tax free state rather, that's a decent bit of saving on your paycheck at the end of every week. So there's a few teams that still, the Bengals are the only team that are looking for a coach, right?
Bengals, and there's another team, I think, I'm blanking right now, obviously.
I think we got everything, did we? Yeah, because that would have made 7. Oh, but there's eight teams. Who are we missing?
Somebody in the AFC, I know that much.
Not Bills, not Jets, not Pats. Who the fuck are we missing? It'll come to us in a while. Anyway, we'll take, so that finishes off the coaching hirings. You can look it up there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll move on to our first ever Paddy Awards. I'm really looking forward to this. It's a shame Barry can't be with us. What, did you figure it out?
The Dolphins.
Oh yeah, the Dolphins. Yeah,
we just got rid of Adam Gase.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the one team you didn't say in the East. You know, like the Patriots, the Jets, the Bills. There you go.
For fuck's sake, I need more beer. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll get to the Paddy Awards 2019.
Even though it's January, people are probably saying, "Oh, fantasy football season is over." Absolute hogwash, because DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, goes all year long and all the way up till the end of the football season. We now have about 80 people in our Paddy Pigskin League. We play fantasy football every week, whether it's in the playoffs or the regular season. We even do the bleeding Pro Bowl. So you can join our league, and you can also join DraftKings at any time throughout the year. But for football season, still a few games left. Basically, you have a 50 grand salary cap. Pick our players from the remaining teams. Watch our points pile up. Compete with me and the boys, and you can win some money. We normally have the top three people in our league every week win some money. It also gives you a bit more of a vested interest in some of the games you might not necessarily care about when you have a DraftKings team on the line. So get to DraftKings.com now or download the DraftKings app. Use our promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y. That's on DraftKings.com or the DraftKings app. And you can start taking part in daily fantasy and win your share of a shitload of money that's up for grabs on DraftKings. So join us now. Promo code Paddy at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, this is a part of the show I'm really looking forward to. So it's the 2019 Paddy Awards. We're going to give out our awards for some best players, some best teams, and a few joke awards at the end. Barry can't be with us. He sent in his via text, so we'll obviously include those at the end. So we're going to start off with Coach of the Year. So, Jer, who is your Coach of the Year for the 2018 season?
I've given it to Frank Reich.
Okay.
I know we went back and forth in the text chat, chatting about things. It was up there, I think, you know, Sean Payton could be up there. He's just done a lot of great things with the Saints this year, especially with Taysom Hill and everything. I got to give it to Frank Reich. You know, he wasn't the number one choice for the Colts, you know, and he's the biggest loss I think the Eagles have had all year. So he's done a great job with the Colts. So, yeah.
Frank Reich Colts. I'm going to give it to Matt Nagy, whichever way you want to pronounce it. I've heard both ways. The reason I know it didn't go his way against your Philadelphia Eagles there due to that crazy kick at the end. I'm just going to give it to him because he went from worst to first in the division, and the Bears for the last few years have been irrelevant, you know, in the NFC and in the NFC North, and the fact that he's now taken them to relevancy, it looks like they have a really good defense there built for the next few years. He did develop Trubisky a little bit more from last year. He did make some strides as a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I'm going to have Matt Nagy, I'm going to call him this time around. He is my Coach of the Year. And who's Barry's?
Frank Reich as well.
Frank Reich, okay. So two against one for Frank Reich of the Indianapolis Colts. Next up, we have Most Improved Team.
We were probably of 2018. All on the same one. I think this is probably a global one.
I'm not going with what you think just because I had a feeling that you go. Well, we know what Barry went with. So who's yours?
Browns.
Okay.
Obviously, going from like one win in like 33 games, yeah, 32 games.
Logical choice,
7-8-1. So yeah, Barry went with the Browns as well. So you.
I'm the minority here again. So, who do you think I'm gonna say?
There's no way you went with the Giants. So
fuck no.
Most improved team. Chargers?
I'm going to go with the Colts.
You went with the Colts?
Because in 2017, they were 4-12.
Yeah.
They looked shite on both sides of the ball. They didn't have Andrew Luck, to be fair. We'll give them that. We had no idea how his shoulder was going to hold up. There were all these doubts. Shoulder, is it going to be 100%?
Yeah.
And even in that game where they put in Jacoby Brissett for the Hail Mary, like, we weren't really sure what his shoulder was going to be like. But their offensive line, with the help of their fourth overall pick, Quentin Nelson, out in Notre Dame, who's been a fucking animal of a man. They gave up 56 sacks in 2017. They only gave up 18 in 2018. So a lot of strides.
They went for that streak there of like 7 or 8 games without a sack.
Really,
as well,
yeah? So they did, Jesus. So 2017, yeah, very bad offensive line. They've really improved the offense. And then they had Darius Leonard as well. So I think I was reading, so Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard, both first team All-Pros. The last time that happened for two rookies, I believe, was Dick Butkus and somebody else for the Bears.
Really?
Way back. So that just goes to show they drafted really well. You know, Frank Reich may not have had too much of a hand in that, but they drafted really well. They are still in the playoffs now. They go on the road to Kansas City, so they're still in with a show. So the Colts are my most improved team for 2018. Now we're going to move on to the new kids on the block. We're going to go with rookies of the year. So we're going to start off offensive rookie of the year. Who have you got?
Offensive rookie. It was a tough one going back and forth. I had a couple of people there. I went with Saquon Barkley in this one.
Okay.
Just, he was the Giants offense this year, you know, 261 carries, 1,300 yards, 11 TDs, 91 receptions, 721 yards and 4 TDs,
yep.
You know, so over 2,000 yards.
Behind a shite O-line for the most part. They got their act together a little bit towards the end, but not the best.
Thing. But no, I just think this was a case for a couple of players, and I know towards the end of the season he kind of, teams had figured out a little bit, but the Giants' offense was more involved then. But I just have to give it to him.
And especially like when Odell went down, you know, you're basically scheming against Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like he's the most explosive
threat.
Pretty
much, they weren't like, it was just dump it to Saquon and have Saquon do something, you know?
Yeah, so he kind of padded.
Like he was running amazing routes for passing or whatever. It was like, he literally has to make everything himself. His passes were like 1 yard forward and then do something about it.
Then he jumps over fuckers like he did against the Bears.
Barry went with Quentin Nelson. He is the best rookie, but he believes Baker will win it.
Okay. I also have Saquon.
Yeah.
You know, for all the reasons you mentioned, the numbers he put up, over 2,000 yards from scrimmage behind an O-line that wasn't that great. Imagine him with a good O-line, like say the Saints or the Cowboys O-line, for example.
I did numbers. I did take a few notes on Mayfield as well.
He go for it,
14 games this year. He was 310 out of 486 for a 63.8 completion, 3,725 yards, 27 TDs, 14 ints, 39 rushing attempts with 131 yards, no TDs. So,
and he caught a touchdown.
So pretty good for a guy, you know, for an organization that hasn't had a QB in decades to come in and do something like that. So
And those wins he put up were fucking huge for the Browns.
Yeah.
They look very, very promising in years to come. Defensive rookie of the year. Who you got?
So this was a tough one for me.
It was.
There was two players, Darius Leonard and Derwin James, but I went with Darius Leonard in this one.
Okay.
Just because of how bad the Colts were originally. Barry went with Darius Leonard. He goes Derwin James still second close. He wished the Bucs had gone with him. 15 games, 7 sacks, 111 solo tackles, 52 assisted tackles, 1 in, and 4 forced fumbles from a linebacker. So that's pretty.
7 sacks as well.
So that's what I said there, 7 sacks. Yeah. So pretty fucking amazing, you know?
And you have Darius Leonard as well. The Colts were 30th overall in defense in 2017. They jumped up to 11th. So, you know, he's been like one of the linchpins there. Malik Hooker on the back end from The Ohio State definitely helps when you have like players on the back end as well. But yeah, he's like, you ever watch a game and you see a defensive guy and it doesn't matter whether it's a pass or a run. There's just that player that's fucking everywhere. Like Luke Kuechly, Clay Matthews at his prime. They're just everywhere where the ball is. That's Darius Leonard. He's just fucking everywhere. Sideline to sideline, north to south. Absolute baller, just a fantastic guy. And he went to let's be honest, a Mickey Mouse school, South Carolina State. Like, Mickey Mouse school, not even the Gamecocks. You hear South Carolina, you're like, oh, the Gamecocks, SEC team. South Carolina State Bulldogs, I think they're even called. That's a small school, like, I don't even think they're Division One. Anyway,
I'd have to look it
fucking up. Fucking great find between Quilton Nelson and was it Braden Smith as the other offensive lineman?
We didn't have it there, but GM of the year, I think, has to go to Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
Like, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, Brandon Smith.
Brandon Smith, not Braden,
just an unbelievable draft class for that organization. He's just changed that whole team around with Frank Reich.
Even if it was just those three guys, like, you've completely changed it on both sides of the ball, you know? So kudos to him. Although, did you see the speech afterwards when it was...
Jim Irsay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Quentin, man. Did you ever hear the call he made to Quentin when they fucking drafted him?
It's what a train wreck of a man.
He's a disaster, man. Just stick to your strip clubs, mate. We'll win on the field.
He was fucking geoid, I think, giving that speech. Yeah. He was just all over the place. Anyway, so we have... there are two rookies. So we are going to move on to offensive player of the year, 2018. Mm-hmm. Who you got?
I went with Patrick Mahomes. I just think he's transcended that football team, and he's everything that Alex Smith isn't, and it's everything that that team needed to help them get over the hump that they've always had. Now, that will come down to this weekend's game, they win a playoff game. But, he's just been...
Will his season be defined by what happens over the weekend against the Colts?
Some people may.
Like,
I don't think it should.
If they lose, will you be like, it was all for nothing?
No.
Okay. Like, he had a fantastic year, and they just lost. And shit happens.
50 TDs, 12 ints, 66% completion rate, 5,097 yards. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Crazy numbers, yeah.
What do you get? 417.1 fantasy points this year as well. People had him.
Oh, you drafted him in all the leagues. I was fucking delighted with life. My offensive player of the year is Drew Brees. In his 18th season in the NFL, led the Saints, of course, to a 13-3 record, number one overall seed in the NFL, or NFC rather. Stats led the NFL in passer rating, 115.7. Not bad for an old man.
Yeah.
Almost 4,000 yards. He was 8 shy of that. 32 touchdowns, only 5 ints. He also had 4 rushing touchdowns. So Drew Brees is my offensive player of the year. What about Barry?
Barry went with Mahomes as well.
Did he? Okay.
It's one of these tough ones, you know.
We'll get to the MVP as well.
Arguments for either or, you know.
Yeah. Defensive player of the year. Who you got for this?
Went with Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Barry went with Donald as well. So 59 solo tackles, 20 and a half sacks, 4 forced fumbles. I see on the NFL website he's listed as a D-end, but he's played most of the time as a D-tackle. I'm pretty sure D-end is because he's listed himself as that for the payday.
Yeah, exactly.
D-tackle. Yeah. But the guy is just a fucking wrecking machine. Like, he is not, 280 pounds? And he's just throwing 300-plus pound guys around the place. Double teams. Most of the time, he's double teamed as well.
Yeah.
So most of those sacks have come in from a defensive tackle position.
Because when we saw Sue coming in, we're like, oh, here we fucking go. But Sue hasn't really done that much.
Sue's done jack shit.
I don't even know what Sue's numbers are. But like, you don't hear of him, you know?
I was interested to see that now. I'm really so...
what Sue's numbers are?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Aaron Donald as well, by the way. Kind of, he retains, he was the defensive player of the year in 2017. Yeah. So,
if Sue has had 4.5 sacks and 36 tackles, solo tackles.
Yeah, nothing compared to Aaron Donald. Yeah.
But the 14 or 15 million they paid him for 1 year.
So, Donald has certainly justified his $135 million deal that he signed in August for all the reasons you mentioned. So, general consensus, Aaron Donald, defensive player of the year. Yeah. MVP. So I went slightly different. I had offensive player of the year. I didn't want to go the same because I had two offensive players that I thought were really good. I wanted one to be the offensive player of the year, but one as the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't really make sense. Yeah. I just wanted to squeeze an extra name in there. My MVP, Pat Mahomes, joined Peyton Manning and Tom Brady as only the third player in history. He is the youngest player in history to throw for 50 touchdowns in one season. So he's joining a very elite club there. He did it at 23 years of age. He had all the numbers you said. Just a fantastic find there out of Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Has nice bloodline there with his dad having pitched for the Minnesota Twins for a long, long time.
Cannon of an arm.
So, Pat Mahomes, just a joy to watch. Like, he makes those plays, the no-look pass, the fucking fourth down pass against the Ravens, just horsing over the middle. The Chiefs, I just love watching them because you never know what he's going to do. And he has so many fucking skills and tools that he has at his disposal.
Yeah.
Love watching him. So that's my MVP.
Myself and Barry went with Drew Brees.
Okay.
For the MVP.
So we all have, like, we have in that general. Around, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're in and around the same.
You know, for the way he's commanded that team, you give the records and his stats, you know. He is, when you think of the Saints, you think of Drew Brees and nothing else. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Again, it's one of these things now. What is it? They presented the night before the Super Bowl, is it?
Yeah, the NFL Honor Awards whatever it's called.
It's a horrible thing to win it and then not win the Super Bowl. Having Matt Ryan, you know that.
Well, I think none of those guys that are at the awards night are actually, they don't have Super Bowl contending players at the awards night, I don't think, do they?
Well, they may not be there,
but they're
still up for nomination.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ryan was up and he won it and then fucking blew the 28-3
lead. We all know
lead.
What happened there. Most improved player. So this is one where we could all be different on.
Yeah, I didn't really know. Barry went with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay.
And I was trying to think then, okay, yeah, I suppose he's done a lot this year, AB. But AB's there, you know, and they had their problems at the start of the year.
I think he had more yardage than AB overall.
Well, he fucking had that, 97-yarder?
Yeah.
You know, that probably...
That definitely helps.
Up there, you know, since we don't have a comeback player of the year, I'd probably go most improved for Andrew Luck.
Okay.
Just, you know... Because the way he started off, everybody, as you said, critiqued him.
Mm.
And was like, this isn't...
We weren't sure,
And he just got better and better and has started dicing teams up now.
Yeah.
So I'll just go with Andrew Luck, just based on the season before he left.
Speaking of Colts, I am going to give it to Eric Ebron of the Colts because when he was drafted 10th overall in 2014 by the Lions, shameless plug, but I was there. It was a great crack. He looked like a bust. He didn't really do much. Like, for someone that's drafted 10th overall, you're expecting them to really, like, you know, be the best tight end when you're drafted that high. Didn't really do much after being drafted out in North Carolina. This year, 13 touchdowns. That leads tight ends. He was only second overall in touchdowns to AB. So he's been a fucking huge part. Really big.
Big red zone target.
Big red zone target. Like, yeah. It's been night and day, really.
Yeah,
just
it's crazy.
The transition of offensive production for Eric Ebron since he joined the Colts. It helps having Andrew Luck. Not to belittle Matt Stafford.
I just don't
think they were using him the right way.
Yeah.
Like, he ran, you know, the other day, I think it was like a small little corner out or something, but he's just beating guys on all the routes. He's running them really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an integral part of that offense. If T.Y. Hilton isn't open on the deep ball, you can be fucking guaranteed that Eric Ebron's ready to take it on underneath, you know.
Definitely.
So he's my most improved player of 2018. You ready to move on to the jokey ones, yeah?
I am. We'll go through Barry's first.
He said Juju for the most improved, Right, so we're going to come up with a few joke awards. So these could... We already know what Barry's are ahead of time, but myself and Jared don't know what each other picked for jokey awards, so they could be fucking anything. But we'll go with Barry's first.
The same award,
yeah, we could do, yeah. Who knows?
So,
let's go with Barry's then.
Barry's first one is best shoulder pads. And that goes to Michael Bennett, who we are pretty sure just has two loaves of batch bread sitting under there. That's Barry's first
fucking
one.
Smallest fucking pads in the NFL, by the way. Like,
yeah, and he's pretty much... He does with them what you do with your vests in the gym. Trying to make the thing smaller, you know?
Little traps just popping out at the side, yeah. I don't even have a nominee because I've already posted about Michael Bennett's shoulder pads. I can't really beat that. What's his other award?
His next one is best TD celebration, and that goes to Baker Mayfield literally folding his arm down his leg to hang dong against the Bengals and getting fined by the NFL for it.
Brilliant. And there were a lot of good celebrations this year, like choreographed ones, like really good ones. But just the word hang dong is fucking fantastic.
Amazing.
Right, let's hear your ones. I'll let you do the honors. Go
my
for
first
it.
One up is the award for waking up in the morning and feeling dangerous. And that goes to also Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And the second one is you thought you had the game over until you seen them lateral to Kenyon Drake award. And that goes to the New England Patriots.
Brilliant. My awards are really, really long in name, but...
Okay.
Just got to get that bronchitis out of me. My first one is the Pat McAfee for the brand Kicker Appreciation Award. And that goes to Matt Prater, the kicker for the Lions, for throwing a 19-yard fake field goal pass there. And that was in week 17 against the Packers. And fucking Pat lost his bleeding marbles in the commentary booth. Now, I'm almost certain that they put that play in specifically because they knew that Pat was in there.
But it was
they had to. It was a nutting game.
It was like so bad that like none of them picked up that the kicker put his foot down for
And fucking stepped into it.
He wasn't even lined up as a fucking kicker, you know.
And even Pat was talking about who he stepped into it, like Peyton Manning.
He also lost his shit on. Who was the kicker that leveled the guy with their fucking rock bottom?
The Carolina Panthers. Yeah. That was a fucking peach of a tackle as well. That was actually my honorable mention was the Panthers was kicker.
Pat McAfee.
It wasn't Graham Gano, it was the other one. My last joke award is the Ray Rice, don't be a fucking scumbag and hit defenseless women in a hotel lobby award.
Who does this go to?
Well, there's two. You could kind of pick two, but it goes to Kareem Hunt. For fucking booting a chick on the ground in a Cleveland hotel, potentially ruining his NFL career.
Kick flick is what I heard it recently called.
Jesus Christ. People are fucking savage on the internet. It could also be, depends on which information you're listening to, Reuben Foster. We don't know the ins and outs of that one as well, but not a kick.
It's fucking worse than making a murder.
I know, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's going to be a fucking Netflix special. So that's our joke awards for the 2019 Paddy Awards, which is based on what happened in 2018.
Yep.
Grand, we'll leave it at that, and we're going to wrap up the show now after a quick break with our divisional round picks. All right, we're going to finish off episode 53 of Paddy Pigskin with our picks for the divisional round game. So first up on Saturday, 4:35 Eastern, just after 9:30 Irish time, Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. Over under on this one's 57. Right now, Vegas has the Chiefs as 5.5-point favorites. Jer, who you got on this one?
Chiefs. At home, it's a really tough place to play. You know, that home crowd's quite loud. I can see some bad things against them. You know, that offensive line for the Colts is so strong. The defensive line for the Chiefs isn't that great. Their secondary sucks, and luck has been tearing teams apart, but I just think they'll have too much in offense.
Okay,
but I wouldn't be surprised if a shocker, but I'm going with the Chiefs on this one.
Alright, I'm just going to remind you that I correctly predicted a road win for the Colts and you had the Texans last week, but you'll get your own back now when we get to the second game on fucking Saturday.
I didn't get back to you, and like you pretty much selected which teams you thought I would pick.
I know,
and
yeah,
I changed
yeah.
them all and they all yeah. fucking lost.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. Yeah, Chiefs pass defense shy, 31st overall in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Hasn't really mattered though because they just put up points all the time. I can see this one being 60 plus just because really? The Chiefs give up so much. The Colts are red hot at the moment. They're really, really fucking rolling into the playoffs with a lot of momentum. And also the run defense for the Chiefs, very bad. It's 31st also. They give up 5 yards a carry. So I think Marlon Mack and fucking T.Y. Hilton and even Ebron, like I think everybody's going to get a share of the spoils.
Yeah.
And we saw last week with Lamar Jackson, the moment can get to young quarterbacks, even Trubisky, you know, two young quarterbacks there. Like in fairness to Lamar, he is a rookie. I just don't think it's going to get to Mahomes. I think he thrives
I think
on
a much better QB than both of them.
Better QB thrives on being that center of attention with the spotlight on him.
I'll jump in for Nick Trubisky. Had a good game. He pulled up at the first quarter, you know, and he never really took off for a run in the second half.
Yeah,
you
know,
so his main thing with his feet was limited. And who's the other guy you just mentioned? Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
He had his fumbling issues anyway, but that fucking Chargers game is a different story, but I think that won't faze Mahomes at all. It hasn't fazed them all year, to be honest.
An interesting tidbit from that game was that the Chargers noticed that one of the offensive tackle was tipping
they,
off.
They that was last year as well. That was talked about, and then it looked like he had fixed it or something, but he must have had another tell.
Clearly not.
Another tell, you know. So.
I have the Chiefs winning.
Okay.
I also just don't want the fucking Pats playing another home game in Foxborough for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So it's head and heart is both gone with the Chiefs. The second game on Saturday night, or Sunday morning if you're in Ireland, 1:15 Sunday morning, but over here, 8:15 Eastern time.
I love that time zone.
Which is actually 5:15 on the West Coast, which is where the game is taking place. In the Coliseum, the Dallas Cowboys on the road to the LA Rams. Over under On this one, 49.5. The Rams are 7-point favourites. Do we know who Barry picked, by the way, for the other game? Did he tell us? No.
No, I don't think so.
No worries. We'll put it in the graphic over the weekend. Who you got in this one?
Rams. Straight up.
No, you know, no messing.
Yeah, I just think they're a better complete team than the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys have their defense and everything.
Mm.
I just think the Rams are a better complete team.
Okay. Yeah, like, Cowboys seem to be like, as Zeke goes, the Cowboy goes, you know. If Zeke is rolling and the offensive line is blocking for him,
mm-hmm.
they seem to do really well. He had 137 yards on the ground and a touchdown against the Seattle run defense.
Yeah.
But in fairness, the Seattle run defense has been fucking shy all year. So, you know, like, even a running back that's not as good as Ezekiel Elliott probably could have done a good job in them there.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, the Rams are last in the NFL in yards per carry. So yeah. they do give up a lot of big runs. So if the Cowboys establish a run, there is a possibility, I think, of the Cowboys getting an upset. But like
I
said,
I can see it.
Like, I wouldn't be completely surprised, but to bolster your argument, I do think that the Rams are a more
complete team.
They have the better quarterback, Jared Goff. He has a lot more weapons to throw to. Like, if you take away Amari Cooper in the passing game,
mm-hmm.
who are you throwing to?
No,
like, Horn's gone down with an awful injury. Like, Cole Beasley, even, he's had trouble with his ankle. But then you look on the flip side, you've got Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, really good possession mm-hmm. receiver and route runner. And even, like, they interchange, like, Higbee and even Josh Reynolds, another guy that's coming in there. They just have a lot of weapons.
Todd Gurley.
We haven't even mentioned Todd Gurley, who is matchup-proof almost. He's one of those players where it doesn't matter if you're going up against a number one run defense or the number one defense against pass catching running backs. He just fucking gets it done every single week. So, and to revert back to the quarterback ratings, Goff, 8th overall. Dak, surprisingly 14th. I would have put him a lot lower, but he's actually improved in the last few weeks. The game against the Giants probably helped him when he fucking threw for 1 million yards. but I got the Rams winning.
Okay.
So 2 home wins to start off. Moving on to Sunday, just down the road in Foxborough, the LA Chargers on the road to the Patriots, 1:05 Eastern, 6:05 Irish time. Over under, the lowest of the weekend, 46.5. Pats are 4-point favourites, so not big favourites. Normally you get the 3 points with the home team normally gets that field goal from Vegas. Yeah. So how do you see this one go?
I'm going to change it.
Are you, yeah? I'm
gonna go
on the fly?
I'm going to go Chargers.
Really?
Yeah, I had Patriots, you know, just it's the Patriots.
Is it because of the spread, or are you just...
Nah, fuck it. I need to get the old win here and there, you know. I've kind of gone with the home team favourites there the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I've lost out, so maybe this will bring me up in the numbers of end-of-year winning records.
Fair enough.
I think the Chargers are the better team overall.
Mm.
Like, better defense, offense, special teams. It's just whether they travel or not, you know. I was listening to Felder and Mass, and it's mainly...
Which is a Boston-based show for anybody who doesn't know who Felder and Mass are.
Why wouldn't they just stay in the East Coast? Why go all the way back to the West Coast to come back? And apparently it was down to that they couldn't get the film or the audio equipment they needed to do whatever they needed to do when they stayed here.
Right.
I.e., your owner's a cheap fuck and didn't want to pay for it, so you're flowing back to fucking Cali to do your thing there, to fly back out to the West Coast again and play a 10 a.m. game in fucking
in their body clock
weather.
Yeah. Definitely an advantage there, the fact that the Pats have had the rest week and the back-to-back games. But the Chargers, anytime they've had to fly for a road game, they're undefeated.
This year, yeah.
Yeah. Only road game they've lost
was to LA.
Yeah.
Rams.
Which they probably just got a bus journey, yeah. So to be fair, anytime they fly for a road game, they're a very good football team.
Yeah.
The Pats secondary, as we all know, even though PFF have actually ranked them somehow really, really high, the Pats secondary, apart from Gilmore, that obviously boosts the grades. Apart from Gilmore, they've been shaky enough. I think it could be a day where someone like a Mike or Tyrell Williams steps up. You know, Gilmore more than likely going to be shadowing Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They might be getting Hunter Henry back. He's coming back off a torn ACL, yeah. There was a chance he was going to be active against the Ravens. It looks like he is going to be active for this game.
Okay.
If he's 100%, he's a fucking top tight end in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like Gates, great for a little, I spoke to our friend of ours, Paul Grogan, one of the best players in the NFL.
That catch last week, dude, that one-hander, kept that drive alive.
He's still going, yeah. If you want to keep a drive alive, Antonio Gates, like, no better man. So but Hunter Henry, an all-round better toy end at this age in so Gates' career.
What do you think? Are they going to put Derwin James on Gronk?
We've seen in the past where kind of the more athletic guys seem to do well against Gronk, right?
Yeah.
Because he's another one of those players that kind of is a bit macho proof, but he is on the back nine of his career. He's
fucking
his
very
body's
bad,
breaking
you
know? Down. I just can't see Gronk being that big of a factor just because his body is given up on him.
You never know. Like,
you never know, yeah.
Like they played, what, 7 DBs last week in 58 of their 59 snaps, you know? Yeah. He's going to be bigger than probably every one of those DBs, like, you know?
He's always that red zone threat as well, you know? But it's hard to bet against Brady in Foxborough.
That's, you know, that's
in
what it
January
is,
in the cold. Fuck it. Like, it's hard to go against him. So I have the Pats winning a close one, as the spread suggests. They think it's going to be close.
You know,
it just I can't bet against Brady in January in Foxborough.
The Chargers are an upset win, and I'll go with the upset.
Okay,
I've been on with the favorites in every other one. So.
Interesting tidbit last week. The last time that all four wildcard teams won was, I think it was 2015 or 2013.
Really?
I had a stat up against the last time two wildcard games were in the same state on the same day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was Texas last week, but it was Maryland the time before that. Yeah. And all the road teams won. They all lost the following week.
Oh, really?
So if the Seahawks were able to get the win over the Cowboys, all four would have won. Which naturally meant they all would have lost this weekend, but we're going with a few different opinions.
Patriots Mafia come out now the weekend when you put the figures up and who's going through.
4:40 Eastern time, last game of the divisional round. We have your Philadelphia Eagles in the Superdome playing New Orleans Saints. Over under 51. Saints are the biggest favorites of the weekend. 8-point favorites. Go.
I'm going to go with the Saints. It's going to be a lot closer than people.
You're looking for the reverse jinx, are you? Like last week?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
At least you know you're not what I'm thinking here. I didn't choose them last week and they won. So, we got in by the end, by the skin of our teeth, you know. We needed the Bears to do us a favor and then we done them over. We've gotten hot at the right time, I think, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We faced, what was the stat I heard recently in the lead up there? So we faced Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and Aaron Donald Sue in our 4-game win streak there and didn't give up a sack to one of them. You know,
that's
so the offensive line is like,
yeah, they're getting,
come good at the right time here.
Yeah.
So,
because that was a concern when we spoke about them early on in the year. You were a bit concerned
line
about
was just
the trenches were
same
muck,
line, like, just giving up gig, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go with the Saints. Just I think an all-around talented team. We're in their house. But I know the Eagles are going there pissed off based on the Saints running up the score the last time, you know.
Yeah.
For no reason. And you just don't do that to the Super Bowl champs, you know.
Yeah.
Bit of fucking respect here, lads. So.
Put some respect in my name. It was 48-7 back in week 11. Breeze, as we all know, is just a fucking beast at home in the Superdome. That day he put up 363 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Eagles, much better in the trenches, offense and defensive line, coming together at the right time. Does feel very much deja vu. They kind of have that momentum going now. They're a team you don't really want to play. Big Dick Nick is getting the wins when we count them out week in, week out. He still proves us wrong. I just feel the Saints, we spoke about this before we came on there, they've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball.
They've rested for a week. They've been able to watch us. Fucking Sean Payton's bringing in wheelbarrows of 225K, you know. So here you fucking goes.
There
what
you go.
Get if you win.
They're just one of those teams, multi-dimensional. Like, if they want to run at you north to south, they put Mark Ingram in there, a bruiser. If they want to have a more speed running game, they can stick in Ingram. But then they also have one of the best wide receivers in the game, and Michael Thomas, top five. Like, he can fucking shred anybody. Catches everything, yeah. Michael Thomas. They're also getting Ted Ginn back. That's like a little bit of an under the radar player to have back. Like, he's getting old, but tell you what, Ted Ginn has definitely helped me out in daily fantasy many, many times. Like, if they do double Michael Thomas over the top, Ted Ginn still has the fucking wheels to be a banged up secondary, as we all know. Like, Philadelphia are, have lads like Maddox and other guys that are fucking coming in off the street to play. Yeah. Not like Michael Thomas isn't the guy I want to be facing if my secondary is beat up the way the Eagles are. Yeah, yeah. So I just feel, no disrespect to your Eagles. I said before we came on, I think they are being disrespected a little bit. I think they are going to go in there fucking annoyed about what happened in week 11. Wouldn't be surprised if they hang around. Just, you know, Breeze's window. He knows it's almost do or die now. He signed that 2-year extension. He has a fucking amazing opportunity here to run through the Superdome until he gets to the Super Bowl. For just all those reasons, I have the Saints winning this game.
There you go.
So that's it for the divisional round. Yeah, four games. It's sad, isn't it? From now on, we're only going to have two and then the Pro Bowl. And we should have went to the Pro Bowl again. That was fucking that was great. That was really good. For anybody that's listening that hasn't been to the Pro Bowl, which I would imagine is most people, especially from Ireland anyway, highly recommend it. Even though people say, ah, it's a bit of a joke game, which it kind of is. Just going there, seeing players with their families and friends and like even rival players having the crack with each other.
Well, that fucking sucked because it pissed rain all fucking day for us.
My chips got fucking soaked.
We were at the ESPN studios. That was great crack.
Yeah, that was really good.
Fucking hot as hell. Doing the virtual reality tour. That was great. Field goal, you know.
Really
fucking
good,
40-yard times. Great stuff. And then fucking just seeing them walking around 20 feet from, you know, the picture of Sean Payton.
Yeah. So yeah, highly recommend it. If it's on your, if you're a real solid NFL fan, get it on your bucket list to go to the Pro Bowl. It's nice when it goes to Hawaii. That's it, but it's a fucking longer trip. It's more expensive, you know. Yeah. A little bit easier going to Orlando.
Spirit Airlines.
Grant, thanks very much, Jer, for coming on.
Yeah, it's been good. Been a while. So
good to have you back on. What are we going with the beers, by the way? We got Torpedo Extra IPA.
Not a fan of it.
Yeah. It had so much promise, but it's just
fucking taking a long time to drink.
Yeah.
Shit, you know.
Not mad. Yeah, you've only taken a little sip out of it. No, what are you giving
fucking
it?
Fucking dying as well.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. Yeah. What are you going to give it?
6%.
Six out of 10?
6 out of 10.
Yeah. I was going to be in the sixes too. I'll give it a 6.4.
Okay.
So an average of 6.2. So yeah, not one of our most favorites. Torpedo Extra IPA, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, Chico, California, Mills River, North Carolina. Right. That will do it for our episode 53. Keep tabs on all our social media pages. You can find all of the funny shit we like to put up there. Also, appreciate all the support on all the different podcast apps that you may listen to us on. So all the Android ones, there's a fucking million of those. I don't even know half the names of them. And then the big ones, Spotify, iTunes, and I guess like Stitcher and all those sort of places. Appreciate it. All the reviews that people gave us over the last few weeks and around Christmas time, really appreciate that as well. Tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Top down for the breeze, burnt lips, got a blood full of weed, peace, love in the meat. Nigga, I ain't come for the beef, you ain't no sheep, came for the sweet, got bites for the cheeks. Nigga, I'm the life for the beef, fuck that, this year gotta eat. Bounce for the crown, you be hating and I still hold it down. When you round, man, the girls never lounge, man, I heard you a hound. Bruh, man, that bitch need a bounce, tip, 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 bounce out of gown. Hands tied to the sound, yeah, yeah, I'm the rich nigga now. Bitch, bitch, I'm the talk of the town, make a bitch run them out. Yeah, yeah, go south for the boy, pop, pop, pop down to the floor. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Yeah, 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 yeah. Bruh, see girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Bruh, see girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Bruh, see girls everywhere. Titty ass, hands in the air. So party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. On the curb, weed cards, every corner sell herb. Watch it fly to a bird. Nigga, I can pitch you a curb.
Let this real shit occur, make meals from a fire. Nigga, cop a crib in the burbs, nigga, you ain't said nothing by the wire. Smoke something for your nerve. Whole mother paid on the first, then nigga going broke by the third. Bounce for the crown. Fast forward, getting real to me now. Every dog need a cat to meow. Every once in a while, I see hands in the crowd. See white, black, blaze in the pound. Jump, jumping around. Tits ass bump by the gown. Bounce from the ground, get hype for the sound. This first straight from the morgue. Down from the floor, bounce, bounce. See girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air. So party over here, shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year, met man at a bounce. Where I see girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air. So party over here, shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year, met man at a bounce. Where I see girls everywhere, titty ass hands in the air. So party over here, shaking for the man of the year.